prayer. Yesterday, Shanmugam from India was here. He was here last week, I think it was, or I don't know, I can't remember what week I'm in, but he was here, and he's back in India, and he shared a burning vision that he had. It was called 2020 vision, and it was for the harvest. You remember? There are 2,230 unreached people groups in India. Shanmugam has a vision that within the next 5 years, God willing, that he would send 2,000 missionaries into these unreached people groups that don't have any representation of the gospel. We know where they are. We're finding them in villages. He's mapping out. We got home, and he said one of our disciples has agreed in the first week to be a missionary to an unreached people group in North India. And this is the more violent place where Hindu extremists kill the missionaries. But this guy's agreed to risk his life and go up there and plant in this unreached people group and to share the gospel of Jesus. And also in South India, they have some unreached people groups. And then one other missionary has agreed to go to something I can't pronounce, the Gujarat state, which again, where there's some more unreached people groups. We're doing Matthew 24:14. We're locked in on it, right, everybody? We want to get the gospel to every nation to bring the end so Jesus comes back and we want the nations to be saved. So keep praying for India and for all that's going on there. Let me do one more, and I'll get you guys up here. Come here and grab a mic, Jonathan. Also, in North Korea, I'm sorry that this information has been back and forth, but we obviously found some amazing vessels. There's so much security around this. We can't mention a name. We can't do pictures. But as you'll remember, we got to go into the South Korea border, and there's 50,000 defectors. I got a buddy now from North Korea, or from South Korea, that's evangelizing them in South Korea, because we're getting them ready to go back in. But in the north part is where Lyle went, and you know, we heard all those martyrdom stories, and we know we can get into a couple hundred underground pastors, and it's $50 a month. I know some of you, we said 30. I'm sorry about that. I still am stunned that for 50 bucks a month we can support a guy, but that'll keep him alive. People are starving to death in North Korea. They're dying, and obviously dying without the gospel. For the 13th year, North Korea is the number one most brutal place against Christians. And they evaluate that every year missionally. We've got access. We got pipelines in there now. We know the people. I got the guy back in L.A. that was over there. I'm going to fly out there, I think, in July, Lord willing, and hang out with some of those guys to see how we can better do this. But listen, there's 100 of them left. You know, and it's a loose number. Because some of them are going to get martyred, and some of them are going to go to jail. And then there's going to be a multiplication, hopefully, of pastors. But for 50 bucks a month, we can get these guys done. And I'm just praying with Jonathan, and I know Ryan, we've got a passion that we could get these guys supported from Kansas. And it's very trustworthy lines of, you know, people who are handling these money. 100% of your money will go to these guys. It'll keep them alive, and they'll make disciples in North Korea. So be praying about that, and talk to me if you have interest. Locally, answers to prayer. Go, Johnny.
So we need a diesel mechanic to work on our trucks at work. And so I was driving home from work one day, one afternoon. I was coming home for lunch, and I stopped in a local automotive repair shop to ask if they knew of anybody that could do some work for us. And I struck up a conversation with a guy a few years older than me who runs the store. And he was eating his lunch, and so we just got into a conversation, and I got the chance to share the gospel with him in the midst of that conversation, and got to pray over him, and found out he was a Satan worshiper and spoke to spirits and did all kinds of crazy stuff at his place of business, and was a kind of a disciple of that, and was teaching other people how to do it,
and was having manifestations of that.
Yes.
Who he thought were family members and good people. Literal manifestations in the office.
Yep. So he was doing a lot of stuff. And so I presented the gospel to him and had a great talk, about 45 minutes. And then I left, and I didn't know what to do other than just keep on praying, because it was kind of a chance encounter and not a normal flow of relationships where we talk. And so I just started praying. And every day I'd drive down south to our shop, and I just pray for him back and forth. And then we had a prayer meeting at my house. One first Friday prayer meeting, and a couple months ago, and the focus of that prayer meeting was specifically praying for the lost. And so I just said his name, and I said, "Guys, this is I need to pray for this guy. He needs to come to faith." And so we prayed for him together, and labored for a few other people. And then I still didn't know what to do after that, except just pray. And I was going down to another place close to where he works, and I was walking back across the street from my truck, and I just felt prompting, just go in there and just go back. It had been about 3 or 4 weeks since I've been in there. So I went in, and he was alone again. He just happened to be alone in the shop, and no one else was in there. And so we struck up another conversation. And as I was talking to him, I realized that there was a wind in my sails that didn't come from me. You know, it came from a lot of prayer. There had been a lot of laboring that had happened before that, and the prayers of the saints were working even in that moment. And so we had another 45-minute conversation, and long story short, at the end of it, I got to lead him through the prayer of salvation. He accepted Jesus as his Lord, and he renounced his activity in the demonic realm and what he was doing there. So that was cool. That's really cool. Sometimes I hesitate to share these stories because I feel like I'm the one up here, and I know this. Everybody's got this going on, but hopefully as an encouragement to you to know that when we pray, the Lord is actually doing an effective work on people's hearts. And I love crying out names specifically. And I was just reading this morning in my utmost verse, it says, the disciple who abides in Jesus is the will of God, and his apparently free choices are God's foreordained decrees. This is a glorious truth to the saint. And just that when we pray, the Lord is actually going before us. He's preparing the way before us. So what seems like our random free choice is actually his sovereignty being worked out in that situation that we prayed for, so that when we're moving, he's actually moving through us. And it's the prayers of the saints. So
amen.
Be encouraged about that.
Excellent. Good job, buddy. Shim. I would highlight for that, keep praying. We prayed for this guy by name in these prayer meetings, and prayer, I don't know that anybody comes in the kingdom without being prayed in. And then you got to share the gospel, but we're praying and we're seeing souls saved. I would highlight that Jonathan was not on a ministry trip, okay? He was looking for a diesel mechanic. And so I just want to say, looking for a diesel mechanic is a mission trip. Our lives are a mission trip. Everywhere we are, we're to be alert and ready in season and out of season. You're all missionaries. We love North Korea stories, India stories, but we love El Dorado stories, you know, and Wichita stories where people are coming to faith in Jesus. Shim has been coming to prayer quite a bit, groggy-eyed, and has been faithful at that. And tell us about that for you.
Yeah, so like Jonathan said, prayer is effectively God is working in people through that. So I work at HeartSpring in Wichita. HeartSpring is a school and residential facility for special needs students, and I've been there about 3 years, praying that the Lord's kingdom would come there from day one of working there. And just in the last week, a couple of cool testimonies of been going to the prayer meetings, and I think it was either Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning, we were praying specifically for opportunities that day in our workplaces to be able to have an opportunity to come up and give for us to be able to give glory to God in that, and to pray for someone, to pray for healing and things of that nature. So it was that same day that I was checking out a van to go take some of the students somewhere, and the lady I was checking out a van from had been out of work for the past couple days with severe back pain, and I asked her how she's doing. She said, I feel awful. My back is hurting so bad. And so then it's that moment where like, oh, I know the Lord's, this is it. This is what I prayed for. And I've got that, I'm scared. I'm scared for my reputation here. I don't want her to think I'm a freak. So I'm filling out the paperwork. I'm like, do I really care more about my reputation at HeartSpring than the Lord? And so the Lord just gave me boldness. That's something else we prayed for, is boldness to take those opportunities. And I just said, hey, can I pray for you right now? Or I said, can I pray for you? And she said, yeah. And I said, right now? And she's like, okay. So I prayed for her right there, and it was a really short, quick deal. But then when I said amen and she looked up, she was crying. She had tears in her eyes, and she said, thank you so much. And she was just very blessed by it. I'm not sure what all turned out with that. It was a quick deal. And then I think it's the next day after that, praying again for opportunities at work, and I actually got to go in and spend about 30 minutes with my supervisor, and all of that was sharing the gospel, talking to her about the kingdom of God, and she, I had an urge in my heart that morning, I need to go and see her, I need to go in and talk to her, and so I went up to the door, and I said, hey Danielle, I haven't seen you for a couple days, how you been doing? She said, oh Shim, please come in and sit down, and she was just weighed down with the cares and the anxieties of life, and so I spent 5 minutes or so just praying for her, and just really cool opportunities. I've never prayed for my supervisor before, so I don't know what will happen with my work there later on, but just cool opportunities and testimony that the Lord is working through that, and it's really the prayer this last week and a half that I've been going to the prayer mornings. It just has a way of setting the trajectory for the day when you're, you know, praying and asking the Lord to give opportunities, and then you see those, it's hard to run away, you know, so...
Amen. Yep. That's excellent. Thank you, buddy. So we're seeing effects and getting stories. I love, I get these texts from Shem. Hey, I got to pray for somebody's back. This is awesome. I want to do it again. And so we're praying for all of you. Amy woke up a week ago or so, and she was like, I just felt fresh and filled with the Spirit when I woke up, where I'm usually feeling dull and whatever. And then it dawned on her, oh, they're praying, because we're praying for every believer in the city as they wake to be filled with the Spirit, to go to work, to see the divine appointments, and to be that witness that they're called to be. So we're laboring, and not just for new lifers. We're praying for Baptist and Methodist and everybody that's called by the name of Jesus. And so if you'd like to help us, it's kind of been a blessed time ministry.